Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the privilege we have to share your word. Thank you for the revelation, the unveiling of your word as it comes. I give you praise in the name of our Lord Jesus. I ask that you have a free course in this meeting. In the name of our Lord Jesus, we believe by faith, we receive, right, all that you have for us in your word, in Jesus' mighty name. And the saints say, we are continuing in a teaching that we have titled Divine Actions, Divine Priorities. Amen. Church, amen. By now, you should not be forgetting, right, what you learned last week, meaning that you should have listened to it during the week. Amen. Tell your neighbor, Christmas is over. Come on, tell your neighbor, Christmas is over. Our new year started. Tell him, get with it, get with it, get with it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We actually are in part two of divine actions, divine priorities. And the point we are trying to say is, until a man understands the action of God, he will not prioritize rightly. Hallelujah. Church, hallelujah. Okay, hallelujah. Until man understands the action of God, he will not prioritize rightly. The action of God, or understanding the action of God, is what aids you living a life of priority. If you don't understand the action of God, your life will not be ordered in priorities. One of the ways we know that you understand what God has done is we look at your priorities. Hallelujah. Church, hallelujah. That is why emphasizing God's divine action is that it will lead you to reprioritizing your life. Amen. Church, amen. What has God done? We said it last week. God has given you a living hope. What has God done? He has given you a living hope. This is the one of the most important things you must know. What is hope? Hope is the expectation of good in the future. Hope, the expectation of good in the future. Look at first, okay, let us start off there. You know, let us start off where we started off last week. Though that's not the way it is in my note, but I will start off there. Let us start off in 1 Peter 1, verse 3. 1 Peter 1, verse 3. Someone say, I have hope in this world and in the one to come. All right, what has God done? Look at verse 3. Blessed be God. I give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Someone declare, God is my Father, which according to his abundant mercy. Someone say, God is abundant in mercy. He says, God's mercy has made me born again. Someone say, born again. What does it mean to be born again? Sometimes I realize that people still really don't know these things we talk about. What does it mean to be born again? Follow the words, you can't miss it. Born again. To be born again, permit my English, it means you were born before. Amen. And that birth in which you were born, hey, help me, is not enough and sufficient. So you needed to be born again. So what does it mean to be born again? So when you were born into this world, right, you entered into this world, and by practice, action, and reality, right, you were a being of sin. Then what God came to do was God came to help you. Someone said, God came to help me by giving birth to you again. So the first birth made you a participator of this earth. Is that correct? Are there people? Okay. The next birth that you'll be born again makes you a participator in God's kingdom. So anyone, it's just like, for example, someone saying, I am not a member of the earth. That cannot be possible. I'm a member of the earth because I was born into the kingdom. How many people did something to be born into this kingdom? Like before you enter this kingdom, I mean earth. Did you do anything to be born onto the earth? What did you do? Sister Temi, can you give us some few tips of how to make it into the earth? No, there's nothing you did. You just came and realized that you're here, right? That's the first birth. The second birth as well, what do you do to enter into that birth? The second birth as well, you really cannot recreate your life. What you do is accept and enter through the gateway of this new life. And then you are now a participator in that new life. Amen. You did not do anything special. You only believe the gospel. Amen. Church, amen. So we are now born again. So who are you? You are someone that was born before. It was not enough. So you are born again. Now, meaning that you are now a participator in two streams of existence. Is this making sense? There is the spiritual life that is real to you, and there is also the spiritual life. There's the physical life that is real to you, and there's the spiritual life that is also real to you. Amen? Praise God. So we are thanking God in verse 3 that based on what he has done, he has made us born again unto a living hope through the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ gave me and you hope. A hope of what? This is what people don't know. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 26. You need to know this. I want you to see it for yourself. Because when I talk about it, because this is the action that makes you reprioritize your life. If you don't know this one, you need to see it today. 1 Corinthians 15, are we all in verse 26? 26, are we there? It says, the last enemy, the what? The last enemy that will be destroyed is? So, is death an enemy? Whose enemy? Okay. Why is death an enemy of God? Death is an enemy of God because death encapsulated his man, his people. Death can't do anything to God. Death is an enemy of God because man has embraced spiritual death. So the last enemy that will be destroyed is saying a time will come that death will be destroyed. Praise God. Church, praise God. Church, praise the Lord. Okay, in fact, let us start off in 1 Corinthians 15. Because if you don't understand this simple thing we are talking about, you will just wonder, why am I here? And many people at some point, I have asked this question, because if you have not asked this question by now, something is wrong. Have you ever asked yourself this question, why am I here? What am I here to do? That should be the first level of existence. Why? What am I here to do? Why am I here? That's what we are answering. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel I preached to you. What do you do with the gospel? You preach it. Which also you received, wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. Look at verse 3. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received of him. How that Christ did what? Died for our sins according to the... Someone say Christ died for me. How did this happen? He was buried. And he rose again the third day. This is the gospel. Someone say this is the gospel. The gospel is that Christ died for your sins. Right? Now, the issue is this. When we say Christ died for your sins and he was risen from the dead, it's a big deal. Because that action rescued you from eternal death. Amen? Amen. Meaning that if Christ did not die for our sins, there is no need for us to worship and do all the things that we do. Let me show you. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 12. He says, now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some of you that there is no resurrection of the dead? Please follow verse 13. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, it means Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, our preaching is in. Someone say, glory to God, our preaching is not in vain. The reason I preach is because Christ came out of the grave. That is the reason why the message I preach is centered around the resurrection. Amen. He says, our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain. Meaning at the root of faith is the resurrection. Every faith that does not have the resurrection at the root is vain. Are you getting it? At the root, meaning that I have faith. All of that, I believe God. All of that is in vain because the resurrection is the crux of the Christian life. Praise the Lord. Church, praise the Lord. He now says in verse 15, yea, we are weak preachers. We are found as false witnesses because we have testified that he was raised up from the dead. Whom was not raised up if the dead does not rise up? Look at verse 16. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain and you are still in your sins. Praise God. The Bible now tells us that if in this life we have only hope, we are of most men miserable. He's saying to you, if it is about this life alone that you actually are embracing of Christ, then you are miserable. He's saying that the believer understands. Say, I understand that Christ died for me, died for my sins to give me eternal life. Come on, to give me eternal life. So death has been destroyed concerning me. Come on, concerning me. That's what this scripture is trying to say here. So this scripture here, when it says in verse 26 that the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death and is hold. What is he talking about? He's talking about when the return of Christ. So now, like we always see, our bodies seem frail. Right? Our minds need renewal. Why? It's because death still is playing around. He says a time is going to come. We have a living hope. Death was the problem. From death came evil, came selfishness, came bitterness. That's from death came every evil that you have ever experienced. Death is the problem. Meaning before death, when I mean death, I'm talking of spiritual death, separation from God. Spiritual death is the separation from God that brought physical death and physical issues. Amen. Church, amen. So we are now saying that the man in Christ has hope. He has hope of a life that is to come. And because he has hope of a life that is to come, his life on this earth now has purpose. Let me show you again so that you will see. All right? Look at verse 51. 1 Corinthians 15. What has God done? God has given us a living hope by the resurrection. Now, verse 51 says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in one moment, in a twinkling of an, at the last trumpet, the last message. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. It has started. So right now, the Bible says man in his flesh is what? Corruptible or mortal. Amen. But a time will come, we would experience what? Immortality. Follow. He now says, look at verse 54. So when this corruption has put on incorruption, and mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. He now says in verse 55, man that has believed the gospel everywhere will be able to open up their mouth and say, O death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? Why? Before Christ came, the death of a man is the death of it. It's done, it's gone. When a man that does not know Jesus is dead, he's gone. What will we say? The grave has victory over this one. this man will never exist again. Amen. When people leave this earth and they are Christians, we miss them because of our fraternity, our communion. But let me let you know for a truth, there is a living hope we have. Those people are so alive. Can I get a believing amen? They are so alive. Can I get a believing amen? When a man, listen, when a man has believed the gospel, right? He is so alive, even when he passes on than he has ever been. All right. So he says in verse 55, oh death, where is thy sting? Oh grave, where is thy victory? It tells us the sting of death is sin. That's what brought it in. And the strength of sin is the, you know, it's the law is the sense of right and wrong. Remember? So the strength of sin is the law. Because the law was given to make man know how sinful they are. Are we still together? Are we still together? Okay, let me say it this way so you understand. You know, we cannot be running on this road in front of us, 100 kilometers per hour, and we have not done anything wrong. Until they bring a law, you should run 20. Praise the Lord. Church, praise the Lord. The moment you run 40 on that road, are you a sinner? Yeah. So the law brought a knowledge of sin. That's what he's trying to say here. But look at verse 57. Come on, say this. Let's say this to that. But thanks be to God. What has God given every believer? Victory. What do you have now? Victory. Victory is not actually coming. It is the fullness of his experience that is coming. Victory is what the believer has now. Amen. Church, amen. Say, victory is what I have now because of what Jesus has done. What do I have victory over? The believer has victory over spiritual death. Having said that, please look at verse 58. Why? What is God's divine action? To summarize, God's divine action was that he has given you victory. How did you get that victory? He gave you the victory by the resurrection. What did the resurrection do? Resurrection made you immortal. A man that is not subject to death. Praise the Lord. You are not just earthly. Your life is no longer just about the earth. Because you know, even the earth very soon, one day will roll away. That's why you have to be, when you see a believer overly consumed about the things of the earth, we need to remind him that this earth will roll away. We need to remind him that he has victory in Christ. We need to remind him of what the real purpose indeed. As big as this earth is and all issues that come with this earth, the earth will roll away. Amen. 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 Look, okay. Now, go. So what am I to do now that I know that I have life? Is in the next verse. Look at 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. What else? Or movable. Not, what else? Always. Stop. Someone say always. Always doing what? Abounding. In what? The work of the Lord. For ye know that your labor is not in vain. Why? Jesus Christ has come out of the grave. And in coming out of the grave, he has given you life. In that he has given you life, you now understand God's purpose, that God's purpose is about spreading life. So God is now saying, now that you know, that is his, you know his divine action, what then do you do? You prioritize your life to be steadfast, immovable, abounding in the work of the Lord. That is why it is disorder. If God's work, God's life, God's way, God's things is not number one in your life, it means you don't understand the gospel. You don't understand the divine action. So you cannot prioritize rightly. The man that understands that death was what he deserved and he now has life, and now God says, join me to ensure others have life, if he puts that assignment or that request that God asks of him as second, he doesn't understand what he has received. That's why God says, now be steadfast, immovable. What does immovable mean? Would there be things that will logically shake an individual? But what did he say you should be? immovable. What will be the anchor of your being unshakable? It's not really that God will come through in this life, though he does. Are you getting my point? It's not really that God will come through in this life, though he does. Because remember, you know, a lot of times we have taught faith from a perspective of faith, things receive. But remember that there were people like Abraham. The Bible says they confessed, they embraced, they believed these things. They believed the promise of a Christ to come. The Bible says they did not see it. But the Bible counted them for righteous. They didn't see it, but they believed it. Because the truth about it is that I am trying to say to you, God is saying, now that you know the gospel, your response is be immovable. Are you hearing what I'm saying? In the, with the life that you are facing, what are you? Immovable. See, what is the anchor of your life? You say it's Jesus. Why are you committed this way? What are you getting out of it? It's not what I will get. It is what he has given. What did he give me? Life. I am saying I prioritize the divine things because I understand his divine action. When I don't understand that he gave me life, I will see that all of this whole abounding in the work of God is just a joke. You see it like it's something you want to impress Pastor D. You see it like something that is like a game. But when I understand that this is a God thing, abounding in the work of the Lord is the natural response of the man who has believed the gospel. Now he knows he has hope. You know, one of the greatest things, one of the greatest reasons why I'm alive, I know that I'm partnering with God to ensure life reaches other men. That's the most successful a person can be. Yes. Can I get a believing amen? Amen. Church, can I get a believing amen? Amen? Who is a success? Because I'm saying that in the earthly realm, and I always tell you, I thank God for people that I pastor and minister and mentor. They are doing well in the earthly realm, but I always tell them, may it not be that you are so earthly relevant and spiritually irrelevant. Because earthly relevance before your very eyes will roll away someday. I am not downplaying it. I'm just saying don't be penny wise and pound foolish. Are you getting what I'm saying? You know, all of your existence, Mimi, you like life. You like life, like maybe that, like then Sister Diola, like you want to spend 120, 135 on this earth. It's still at the base, 135 years. There is an eternity of relevance that is upon what you do with abounding in the word of the Lord in this 135 years. That is actually a, if I'd known this better, I would have wished I was born again, maybe when I was 7 months. Do you not understand what we're talking about? That's why there is nobody like a child. There's not, I'm a baby, I say, how many years do you have, right, to abound in the work of the Lord? Come on. After he has given you life, then you have other priorities. No. In fact, those priorities, they glean from your spiritual commitment. People must be able to ask you, what is the problem? Then you'll be able to say, he died for me. If nobody has asked you that question, to say, why are you this unmovable, unshakable, in the midst of a storm, in the midst of, you know, you pray, and things don't happen, you pray, things happen. Regardless of whatever the case is, bro, you are immovable. They say, why? What is the new deal? Oh, he died for me, and he was raised again. Can we get a believing amen? Amen. Amen. He said, look at it, because that's what he advised them in verse 58. Therefore, after all God has done, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. That's it. Be ye what? Unmovable. So what is the will of the believer? What is the will of God for the man that has believed the gospel? He should be steadfast. He should be what? Unmovable. What should he be found doing? Are always abounding in the work of the Lord. Why are you abounding in the work of the Lord? Because that is one work that will never fade away. The whole earth before our very eyes will be rolled up like a carpet, and the whole thing will be over at some point. It's either it is over or you become over, meaning when you are done with your earth, one person will be rolled up any which way. Amen. But there is something you can say as a I am abounding in the work of the Lord. Amen. I'm abounding in the word. You will be very, very foolish to abound so much in the work of this life and not abound in the work of the Lord. So the mystery there is you abound in the work of the Lord so much that you take the experience and use it to abound in the work of life. If you are not living life like that, you are living a disorderly life. And that disorder is coming from the fact that you don't know divine action. This is the reason why we talk to ourselves about divine action. What God has done. What God has done. Identity. Who you are. Who you are. It is so that you will prioritize rightly. Because there are some priorities that will come on you that will be specific to you. Amen.
Amen.
Church. Amen.
Amen.
Remember our teaching from general instructions and specific instructions. I mean, divine, there are some places you will not go. It's not that there's a law, thou shalt not go there. It's just divine action, divine priority. Your time will be precious. The reason why your time is precious, that you see, and that, let me just say it on another side. That is how you should go into interviews. Earthly interviews. Amen. Okay, you don't want me to talk about that one. Let's go back. Let's go. Let's see. Go with a sense of understanding that you are a prized possession. Don't go with a sense of panic. Why? The revelation, I am here for a set time to do a great deed. I'm talking about in the world. It's a privilege for me to work for you. Bro, I have eternal life. Don't tell them that at the interview. Know it. Amen.
Yeah.
Know it. So you come. That's how you put value on yourself. It's resurrection that puts value on you. It's not your degree. Amen.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's no, you go. Why are you this confident? He died for me. I have eternal life. I have eternal life, bro. I have eternal life. I'm a valued possession of God. You heard Mrs. B. He says he has made us a royal priesthood. A royal. That's who you are. Royal priest. I'm a royal priest. I come. That's what I'm saying. That knowledge is what feeds your living. Amen.
Amen.
Church, amen.
Amen.
Hey, amen.
Amen.
Say, I have victory in Christ. All right, let me stop. Let me continue from where we stopped last week, because all of these things I just described now, divine action. Colossians 3 verse 1. Divine action. So we are getting into the priorities level. Look at 3 verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ. I want it to be for only those who are there. Are you risen with Christ? Mm-hmm. So there is something you should know if you are risen with Christ. And that's the way some of the epistles are written. If you look at Ephesians, for example, 1 to 3 tells you about divine action of God. 3 to 6 tells you about your own divine priorities. Are you getting it? It's the same thing. Colossians 1 to 2 tells you about God's divine action. What has he done? If you look at Colossians 1, 21, 22, he will tell you he has made you unblameable, irreprovable in God's sight. You are holy. You are blameless. That's what God's divine action. You didn't do anything to be all of that. Then he now tells you, chapter 3, if you then are risen with Christ. Now this is the believer's earthly living. Someone say earthly living. Yeah, there is what God has done that you must know that you used to live on the earth. Look at it. Colossians 3, verse 1. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things. So what do you find believers risen with Christ? They are seekers. Amen?
Amen.
It will God seek or do they seek? They seek. What does it mean to seek? Verse 2. Set your affection. Amen. Someone tell your neighbor, tell yourself, tell whoever you can tell. Tell your neighbor, set your affections. Stop. Please look up. Do you know that you set your affection? You set it. See, this is something dangerous about the heart. Things in your environment can affect how you set your affections. But bro, who sets the affections? You do. You know, you set your affections. If you ask Sister Simi now, she set her affection on the Kintosin. He may have contributed to it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He may have come with flowers. You getting what I'm saying? He may have said, hello, you know what? I am not one of those others. I come with the game. I'm ready to give you the ring. And she's like, hey, I love this flow. Then she starts to set her affection. Amen. Church, amen. I am saying you set your affection. It's something you do. Someone, they can totally just wakes up one day and say, you know what? I'm just going to be a supporter of Chelsea Football Club. He set his affection to the point that even his wife Simi knows that when they lose, it's not really a good day. You understand? She can't just come and say, hey, now you know what? I'm just talking about that trip we want to take to Hawaii. No, not now. Why? Chelsea lost. Even she knows. It will affect his voice. Who is Chelsea at the end of the day? 12 little boys playing in shorts. But Dickin Tosin has chosen. Someone said choice. It's a choice. You will set your affection. Do you know that it is setting his affection that now make him say, I want to go and buy their jersey. Amen. You know, there are not really laws of if you are a fan, number one, buy jersey. Number two, visit the football club. Number three, are you getting Christian living? You set your affection and actions will follow. That's Christianity in high definition. Amen? Amen. You are the one that set it. And we are now saying, right, things around will help you set your heart. So we said there is something that brought Dickin Tosin said to Sister Simi that made us start to set our affections on him. So when God says set your affections, there are things he has said to you that you are to keep in your mind, that you may be able to set your affections. That's one of what we're saying today. He has died for you. Amen. Church, amen. Now, let's look at it. You know, it would have been a very, very tough competition for Dickin Tosin. If while Dickin Tosin was giving his lines, I'm the sugar in your tea, I'm the man for you, I'll do everything. And that brother comes and says, look at it. I am here. I will die for you. I'm not joking. Go and get someone to kill me now. I want to die. Like, and you know, and let's imagine it. And the person comes in front. Someone wants to shoot Sister Simi. The guy just says, no, 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 no. And he just takes the bullet. Bleh, 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 and he goes down. Listen, what will happen to Sister Simi's affection? She'll be like, it is now being influenced by the action of someone. Can I put it to you that many Christians forget that Jesus Christ has died for them? Hence, we remember. You know, all we do on the earth today that looks like a big deal. Listen, can I be clear with you? If I died for Simi, like my spirit will be hovering over all the time. Simi, you are not remembering me every second. She'll be hearing me in her thoughts. If I could die for her, I'd be like, say thank you. Have you gone to my grave recently? I'll be whispering all manner of things. Why? Because I gave my life for you. So the least you can do is to live your life for me. That's all this conversation of Christianity is. Because if I always forget that someone died for me, I am meant to be dead, but he died for me, then my life now has purpose. Amen. Church, amen. So when God now says, set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. I'm going to show you one of the mysteries of living on this earth. It's actually setting your affections. Okay. He says in verse 3, for you are dead and your life is hid in Christ. Say your life, is hid in Christ. In God, with Christ, in God. Look at, now, see, it says, what should I have as a mindset? I am not alone. My life is with Christ. Christ is in God. Amen.
Think like that. My life in Christ. Christ in God. A lady came many years ago. A lady came, I've shared this story, who did not know that they were trafficking her for prostitution until they paid for the visa. They paid thousands, and she was from a very poor family. And when she was about to travel, they took her to a herbalist to go and swear that when she gets to where she's going, she will remit, as at that time, £20,000 to the person that was taking her to Europe. One way or the other, she knew about it. There was nothing she could do. So she went to the herbalist and swore. She's a Christian. And then she traveled. It was all of these good uncles that comes to church and just says, I can take you better life. She traveled. And one way or the other, they were to spend a few days in London before they go to the next trip. Right? And so when she got to London and they cleared with her fake husband, she escaped and ran away and entered into the local church I was pastoring. And then came around and said, there's a problem. I just escaped. And then she said, there's a curse upon my life. That the moment I default from this thing I swore, right, I'm supposed to die. And she was crying. I just started laughing. I said, it's not even a prayer point. I said, your life is with Christ in God. Amen. Let the whoever herbalist, witch, whatever, before he can get you, let him kill God. Then he will kill Christ. Then you are left. Say, my life is hid in God. Say, it's a consciousness. Because this consciousness is what determines divine action. So that we are getting into the message. Our first priority that we are sharing this today, now that your life is hid with God, number one, prioritize holy living. Someone say, prioritize holy living. Are you holy? Yeah. We are now saying, live like so. How do you live holy? Remembering you are holy. Praise God. How many people realize that anytime you wear white, you sit differently if you're outside? Have you noticed it? Right? When you are wearing black, sometimes you don't even do it. You just sit down. Your consciousness. Because it's like it's not stain. If it stains, they will not sit. But when you are wearing white, don't let anything stain your white. So it affects how you do. So we are now saying, we are reminding you that you are wearing white. Live like so. Praise God. That's what holy living is. Holy living comes from revelation of who you are. Now, let's get into it. Look at what it says in verse 5. Mortify, therefore. Colossians 3, verse 5. Mortify your members. What are you mortifying? What does mortify mean? Put to death. What does it mean? Let me help you. Let me say it this way. The greatest power you have is the power of your attention. Whatever you give your attention to, you give power to. If you strip anything of attention, it has no power over you. Your attention is actually your power. So, the way to live, to mortify your members, is to not give these certain things attention. And the way you will not give them attention is that you are redirecting your attention to other things. Hallelujah. Hey, okay, am I too fast? So it says, mortify therefore your members, which are upon the earth, fornication. Did you see that there? Uncleanness, inordinate, reckless passion, evil desires, covetousness, which is idolatry. It says, the answer to this is disesteem it. Don't see it as a big deal, meaning don't give your attention to it. How? Give your attention to others. Let me show you how. When it comes to fornication and all of that, do you know what Paul told them? 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19. Know ye not. You see, you are giving your attention to something else. Know ye not that your... Let's go there. The answer to sin is where you put your attention. The answer to holy living is where you put your attention. Nothing is a big deal. Your attention is the big deal.
Look at it again. 1 Corinthians 6. Look at verse 15.
So when Paul will be talking to a licentious church, meaning a church that was becoming worldly, the Corinthian church, when he, because he said, put to death fornication. He said, I don't know what you're talking about. He now tells them, this is the way. No, do you not know? So revelation, meaning revelation of God's divine action, is what leads to how you live. So right believing, right living. Amen? If you believe rightly, you will live rightly. What did he tell you that you are to remember? Do you not know that your, come on, that your body is what? The member of Christ. It's not your own. Shall I then take the members of Christ and make it a member of a harlot? That is how Paul taught people to stop sleeping with prostitutes in Corinth. In a community where outside of Corinth were prostitute gods or whatever it is that you call them. It was a norm to have your way with prostitutes. So they now get born again. How did he correct them? He didn't correct them with gloom and doom. He corrected them with revelation. Know ye not that your body is a member? If I know my body is a member, I act in a particular way. Can I get a believing amen? If I know that my body, so I could say, my body is a member of Christ. It should not be a member of sickness. Is that not another way to look at it? Say, I can never be sick. Why? My body is a member. Even when you are sick, what do you say? My body is a member. Because faith is not about results. Faith is because it is a fact. It is just that we have agreed with the fact so long, it becomes our result. My body is a member. Can I get a believing amen? Know ye not that your body is a member of Christ? Shall I then take the member of Christ? He's now walking you through meditation. Are you not going to take the member of Christ and now journey to a harlot? He says, God forbid. What? Know ye not that he that is joined with the harlot is one body with him? For two shall become one flesh. But he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Say, I'm joined to the Lord. I am one spirit with God. Oh, say, I'm spirit. That's how he wants you to think. Amen. Church, look at verse 18. It says, flee. You don't need to pray. Just flee. Why do you flee? Because you know that your body is a member. Someone say, you know your body is a member. Hallelujah. You know, when I got into this country, I realized that it was a norm that people live in other people's houses and they are not married. And I said, why is this thing normal? UK became current in my eyes. What's going on here? I realized that the problem was a revelation problem. Because the moment you keep beating people down, that they are not doing this, they are not good, they are not that, they will act the same way that you teach. So when you start to teach people who they are, they will find value in who they are, and it affects their actions. Amen. You know, if we tell you that you're a king long enough, and every time you come, we say, oh, the king has come. Everybody, imagine that when we just tell sister, we go wake up and say, oh, great sister Diola, you are the queen of England. Hey, stop it. You are the queen. Stop it. And anytime she comes to our midst, we just say, bow the king. Before you talk, we cannot talk. Anytime she comes, we do like this. When we are talking, Sister Temi has already gone on her knees. Our reverend the king, as we are speaking to you right now, we just want to permit, permitted to go to the toilet. She say, permit. You are saying this before. This thing is becoming... Elizabeth wants to talk. She's already on the floor. She's rolling. My queen, I hail, I beseech you. Do you know what will happen to Sister Diola after a while? She'll start to act that way. She'll now say, stand up. Do that. Why? Our mind has caught up with the fact that, wait, say, okay, the way everybody's looking like this, I'm not going to believe it until Stephen starts to roll. Then Stephen still stand up and say, my Lord, my majesty. Ah, yes, it's true, I'm queen. The moment you realize that, then she will start to walk like that. She'll not be shaking everybody now. She'll not be waving. She'll not be doing presidential handshake. Why is all of this? Because her mind has changed. Praise God. In the words of Paul, our attention is no longer on that she's a normal person. Our attention is now on the fact that she's a queen. So the Bible is now saying, don't put your attention now that you are now someone that the Spirit lives in, and starve your attention in that way. Fornication loses its grip over you.
Praise the Lord. Church, praise the Lord. Look, we are back in Colossians. Because we are saying prioritize holy living. So I said the secret to prioritizing holy living is attention. You put your attention on one thing that your attention is not on the other. So you to say mortify, meaning put to death.
Amen.
Let me actually stop there to ask you a question. What is that thing that seems to have a hold on you now? You just need to starve it of attention. That's all. By changing your center of attention. That's all. Look at it. I'm showing you. Look at it. It says, mortify therefore your members that are upon the earth. Right? Look at verse 8. But now, put off. Tell your neighbor, put off to put on. So he says, put off anger. Someone say, I put off anger. Right? Say, I put off anger. Right? So anger for the believer is not particularly a spirit that is that you cannot control. Anger for the believer. The believer has the Spirit of Christ. He only now needs to renew his mind and set his affections on the right thing. Not set his affections. Look, let's continue on anger. Put now, therefore, put off all of this anger. Someone say, like, no, when I am angry. No, no, this is how I am. No, that's not how you are. Wrath, malice. When I don't talk to people. But when I get angry, I will give you space for 2 months. It is not anything but you are carnally setting your affections on the flesh. Amen. All of this, don't say, you know, don't even gratify it and say it's in our lineage. See, I'm a new, that's how you get out of it. I'm not saying it's not your experience now. I am saying I'm teaching you how to get out of it. You get out of it by putting on. And you continually put on. How do you put on? By focusing on the things you have to put on. And that's how you put off. Look at it. It says, but now ye also put off. When he says put off, it's something you can do. And he's telling you it's something you should do. He says put off anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy. He says put off filthy communication from your mouth. He says lie not to one another. Because you have done what? Verse 10, you have put on the new man, which is renewed in image of him that created him. The new man. How? What is he really saying? It's in verse 12. Put off to put on. What are you to put on? Put on as elect of God. Someone say, I'm the elect of God. Spend your mind believing that you are the elect of God. You will not spend it in anger. You will not spend it in malice. You will not spend it in blasphemy. You know, it's going to put that, God is this. Why? Look at it. Your attention is the problem. Remember, what you give attention to, you give power to. One of the greatest things you have as power is the power to disesteem things. You are just big about something and you just withdraw your attention from it. It loses its power over you. Why? You have a mind. Amen. Church, amen. That is why in this life, live according to God's purpose, because you'll be so surprised how people move on when people die. Why? We have a mind. I was in a meeting. And they were announcing the death. They were announcing the death of a director. It did not pass 1 minute. They didn't even give the person 60 minutes silence speech. What those things are, 60 minutes moment of silence. He didn't even deserve it. They've moved on to other things. They're not saying, can we get the portfolio? In my mind, I say, hey, and you have spent your whole life. Oh, I was delivered a long time ago. You have spent your whole life. Oh, what does Semi think about me? I really don't care. As long as I'm following God's plan and God's purpose. Because no matter how, think about it. I lost my mom 10 years ago. How many years ago now? How many times do I sit and say, hey, oh, sweet mother, I'll never forget you. She gave back to me. I've forgotten. I'm already pursuing the next. I'm calling Sister Tim. Hello, is the book ready? I am telling you that if you don't understand this thing, you will live your life with so much. You just wake up one day. Hello. I have had the high blood pressure. Why? You have pressured life running over earth that will be rolled away. Over earth.
You pressure yourself because of husband, pressure for wife, pressure for kids. You better be careful. Because at the end of the day, you need to understand that the most important thing about your life is that you walk in the purpose of God. Don't give all of these things so much of priority. You would tension yourself at the end of the day. How many people have realized that the things that you bothered about 10 years ago has been sorted? Some of you didn't even think you'll have passed through 5 years ago. You are here. But that's how we run. We tension ourselves. Why? We put our mind on things and don't put our mind on the Lord. He says, this is how people rat race. You see, believers are not happy. Why? They've forgotten that Christ died for them. So they always, oh, today's Monday. I'm just tired of this life. You are tired of life. You are tired of life. You that have eternal life. You are tired of life. Ah, no. You are the joy of God on the earth. You are the ambassador of God on the earth. You are the new creation. You are the royal priest, the holy nation. You are the God kind of mankind on the earth. It's not about what the world does to you. It's about who you are, what God has done for you. This is what you remember. Hallelujah. Put your attention. Set your affection. God will not do it for you. You do it because you are a new creation. God has given you a living hope. At the end of the day, I always win. Why? Because death has been defeated. The real enemy has actually been defeated concerning me. Death has been defeated concerning me. It's been defeated. That's the big deal. Every other one, we take it one step at a time. One day at a time, holding God's word. So you put your attention on the right things. What do you say? Say that brother, that sister, that uncle, that auntie, I will not forgive them. No, you do. Why? You have received life. I didn't say what they did is okay. I'm not even saying that I'm not even saying any of those things that you think I should say. I am saying the singular reason you don't hold people in your heart is that you are now being elevated. You have been injected with a godly corona. I mean, you have been intoxicated with another kind of life, that it is small for you to now bring yourself down to the place of malice. Husband and wife, you're not talking 2 days. No, we are new creations. It's not because, listen, I've been married a while, so I know that you, with you, they can totally agree with me. Women annoy men. I've never seen me annoy me. Amen. And then if it was my wife that was preaching, she would say, men annoy women. It's a fact. It will not change. Amen. May I not be married to be saying men annoy men? You get my point. It's men. It should be women annoy men. It's normal, right? So, but we will remember. We are not saying what people are doing is not right. We will remember. Okay, let's now bring it back. Let's bring it back. Please take a step back. It's not about where we are traveling to Hawaii or we are going to Congo. It's much more about we are new creations. We are born of God. We don't need to keep this malice. We don't need to shout in anger. We don't need to. Even after we have shouted, let me tell you so that you are practical. Because this message is still finding its root in you. You first say, you are stupid, you are mad. Leave it all. Leave all this pastoral thing. Listen, I'm not normal. Then you don't say, ha, I'm a new creation. Apologize. I'm sorry. I'm working. Listen, God's engineers are working on me. Engineer Dio is one of them. Yeah, then you say, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have spoken like that. Say it in front of the person. I'm a new creation. The person can even say, You know, you're shouting like dog now. I'm a new creation. I'm born of the Spirit. This is who I am. Because you must lay hold in your mind of who you are. Remember the example. Auntie, Sister Diola is able to believe that she's a queen. And we now help her believe that she's a queen by all those things we're doing. Bowing, standing. She will not believe it. But the moment she believes it, she becomes another person. Even sometimes when she acts like she's not a queen, she will remember. Hopefully, she has allies, PAs, that will say, you are the queen now. You cannot be standing at McDonald's. Get into the car. We'll buy it for you. Amen? Exactly. Why? You put your attention. The moment when you realize that you are struggling with sin, realize that your attention is on the wrong thing. Amen? That is sin as a disestimate. It's not a big deal. I'm born of God. I'm a new creation. I will strip my attention of this thing. And go, you know when we say strip your attention? So, for example, if you're struggling with addictions, don't fuel those addictions. Don't fuel those addictions. You go on Instagram, naked people. And don't do all those kind of things. No. You actually would now say, no, I don't look at those things. I don't look at why. I'm a new creation. I don't go in that direction. Amen. If you realize that you are someone that is prone to anger, right? You put your mind on who you are and talk about it. Don't go about and be watching things where with small thing, the wife has slapped the husband, the other has slapped the wife, and they are dragging themselves. And you say, it's soap opera. Listen, whatever is around your mind, your environment determines your experience. These are laws on the... I don't say, no, I'm a new creation. Whatever happens, happens. It just happens. No, you have to guide your mind. Proverbs 4:22, with all diligence. For out of it flows the issues of life. You will guard it. Someone say, I'm a vigilante. Not everything goes. There's something you just scroll over. You scroll over. Amen. Praise God. One of the things I gave as an instruction when the nation was hit with COVID, as a pastor, I said, everybody shut down on social media, shut down on national TV. Because you watch national TV, you are normal. Before you know it, 15 people around the area, they were now going local. Before you know it, they say, on your street, if you're not careful, if you say, okay, there are 100 people that just died in Kent. Now, 150 on street bosses. You know, be like, I'm on street bosses. What's going on? It's coming closer. Before you know it, you can't go outside and drop the bean. What's happening? It's not COVID, it's your mind. Small something happened that normally you will sneeze before. We always sneeze, oh. Sister Timmy just sneezed. Now, you are listening to TV. Your mind is very, very sensitive. You just do, shoo. You just say, yay. That's the problem. Your mind. There is nothing there. And guess what happens to the man that lives in fear? Oh, the man that lives in fear is trumpeting to the devil. Come over here. There is a buffet for you. Come over here. That's what you do. You say you don't know. Yeah, that's why you put your attention. So all throughout COVID, I told everybody, put it out in our home. I don't even know who died when. I don't even, it's maybe official reports out there. I don't know what happened. So I don't battle temptations because I don't have the information. So when people were saying, all throughout COVID, nothing happened to him. Apart from divine revelation, I didn't know what you knew. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. I didn't know what you knew. So he's on your street. I didn't even know. There was a particular time they said that it was in our area. Our area was one of the highest areas. We didn't know. It was after that it has passed. We said, what, our street was on there? Why? We could not. Nobody called anybody to. We had start praying and fasting. My father. We didn't need it. Why? Our mind was not engaged. The greatest thing you have is your attention. Let me conclude because according to the timing, I have 3 more minutes. Look at verse 12. Put off, therefore, as elect of God. So this is what you are putting your focus on. Who are you? Elect of God. I'm in Colossians 3:12. Put off as elect of God. Who are you? Holy. Who are you? Beloved. So what are you to put up your focus on? Mercy. Someone say bowels of mercy. Do you know why I use the word bowels there? It's like a pot. Think about it like a pot. I don't know if people know this kind of pots. Where I come from, when you want to cook jollof rice, they cook it outside when it's time for a party. There's now a big pot that they use to cook this jollof rice. That's what a bowel looks like. It says, now, what should you have? Instead of thinking of that, you know, as I'm talking now, there's a picture in your mind of that big bowl outside that I'm using to cook jollof rice. Now, think of that big bowl, and what is inside is not jollof rice. What is inside is mercy. He didn't say mercy. He said, Sister Diola, I have one for you. You mess it up, it's over. He says mercies. Amen? What are you to focus your mind on? Humbleness of mind. Humbleness of mind is a man that follows God's word and the man that is not always quick to say, do you know who I am? If you are saying, do you know who I am, you should be talking about who you are in Christ. Humbleness of mind. Meekness. Long suffering. Look at the key here. Forbearing one with another. Tell your neighbor, I am here to forbear with you. How long are we going to carry Sister Simi? As long as we can. As long as she's able to walk. Our carrying is to aid her, to ensure that she can walk. How long are we carrying Elizabeth? As long as she's able. As long, it says, forbearing one with another, forgiving one another. Are we here? If any man have a quarrel against each other, forgive one another, even as Christ has forgiven you. Let me end here and say, the greatest trouble with the church is forgetting who we are. You know, it is when you forget that we are members of the same body that we strive one with another. Have you ever seen, you know, that if Sister Temi's left eye and right eye were fighting, she wouldn't have been here by now. Because the left eye wants to go to Tekam. The right eye wants to go to Abingwood. She's not like this, driving. Why? Two visions. That's why it looks like the church doesn't move. Because people who are meant to be members of the same body don't see themselves as so. Someone said, you are too caring. Are you acting? I was like, bro, we are members of the same body. If your leg, if something happens to your leg, it has happened to me, do you think I want to be slow in life? We are members of the same body. That's why the love is genuine. Are you getting it? Because what affects you, it actually affects me spiritually. If not, it's not true, it's not true, it's not true. We are not members of it. But this is what Jesus said. We are members of the same body. We are now put in a location. That is the reason why follow-up should be natural. Because we are members of the same body. It's revelation that you say, I have not seen. Imagine, think about it now. Imagine a part of you goes on vacation. You don't leave it there. How are you doing? I've not seen you in a while. We are members of the same body. That's why selfishness. Imagine a part of your body only supplied blood to a part of your body. Meaning the heart just says, you know what? As I am hearty, I'm only supplying blood to the leg. And he will be boasting, do you know me? I'm supplying blood to the leg. No, you should supply to the body. While he's not supplying blood to the body, what has happened to the body? The body has atrophied. Are you hearing? That's why this thing makes sense. Revelation should drive our actions. Members of the same body. That's why we will naturally care. Because the Bible says no man can do evil to his own body, but care for his own body. In your home, your wife is a member of your body. Our well-being, your priority, your husband the same in the hierarchy of God, then your kids, then the saints, amen, then the family, then the world. Listen, and that's why the Bible even tells you when you are doing good, do good first to those of the household of saints. Why? Because you are members of the same body. How can we be doing charity giving outside and somebody inside cannot pay house rent? Charity should begin at home. Where is the revelation from? We are members of the same body. As we conclude tonight or today, the focus of the Christian life is where you put your attention. The power is in where you put your attention. When you strip something of attention, you strip his power over your life. God is through me begging you today that give him some attention. How do you give him attention? As elect of God, holy and beloved, now walk in the newness of mind, humbleness of mind. Yeah, you walk forgiving one another as I've forgiven you, lying not one to another. So holy living is a function of what I focus on, knowing who I am. Let's rise upon our feet. Let's give God praise because it is his divine action that calls us to holy living. We've spoken about just one thing today. Let's give God praise. I want you to open up your mouth and give God praise. This might not look like a message you should shout about, but it is a very pivotal message. Prioritize holy living. Lift up your hands and give God praise. It now makes sense to you why I do what I do. I am set apart. Holy people, holy living. Holy people, holy living. Right believing, right behaving. Give God praise. Bless his name. Thank him. Just thank him for the privilege that you have to know these things. It says, blessed are they that know these things. Even blessed are they that act in it. Oh, Father, we give you praise. Look at these precious words that you have blessed us with again. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. As we close in this service, please go to somebody and open up your mouth as a holy vessel and bless them. as a holy vessel and bless them. Go to somebody and bless them. Go to somebody and bless them. Everybody, go to somebody and bless them. Remember, you are the outstretched hand of God. You are the outstretched hand of God. Where you call blessed is blessed. Yes. Hey, you bless. Priests bless. He even said to Aaron and Moses, this is the way you will bless the people. Because there is a ministry of blessing in the mouth of a priest. When he declares them blessed, they are blessed. This ministry did not stop in the Old Testament. Hence, we bless one another. Hence, we open up our mouth and edify one another. Hence, we declare over people intentionally. For we understand our priestly ministry. Through us, God will reach a man. And so we declare and we bless them. And we call them blessed. We call their ways open. We speak that angels keep them in all of their ways. We speak that favor is theirs. They walk in the power of God. They walk in the glory of God. In the name of Jesus, no evil befalls them. No plague near their dwelling. Intentionally speak favor over them because you want them to experience favor, because you can do that. Oh, he says the Lord will bless the righteous. He will compass them with favor as with a shield. Oh, intentionally declare protection over them. Even in the days to come, no flus, no sickness, no disease. In the name of Jesus Christ, we are priests. We serve a living God. Hey, we thank you, Lord. Declare over them that their ministry of reconciliation is sharpened this week. In the name of Jesus, they will just know who to talk to. They will know who to invite to church. They will know who to send a clip to. In the name of Jesus, oh, bless them. Oh, we give you praise, Lord. We give you the glory. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen and amen. God bless you and have a wonderful week ahead. Amen.